Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Of the point after the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. Phone lines are open at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. The Saints win in their preseason opener for the first time since 2014, 24-20 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. Up next, Friday night, 7 p.m., the Saints battle the Arizona Cardinals in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome in the preseason home opener. Back to the phones we go. Craig in Algiers. What's going on, Craig? You're on WWL.
Craig in Avondale. Kristen?
I got Algiers on my screen. I apologize.
Hey, Craig, what you got?
Oh, Bobby, look. Man, you always talk about skins on the wall. My thing is, one bad link could break a whole chain on the defense.
That is true.
And I saw that with Harris last year, and I know everyone is high on Azzalone, but I want y'all to go back and pay attention to the play where Jacksonville stumbled in the backfield, and they bumped into each other. And that defensive line did a great job of containing the guy to open the hole for Azzalone, and he didn't hit that hole to get through that line to make that play in the backfield. And not only didn't he hit the hole, he didn't even get sideline to sideline to make the play. He ran over the cornerback. I'm like, if it ain't broke, why fix it? Don't force nothing on us, man. We made it to the playoffs.
Right.
We almost made it to the Super Bowl. Why take Craig Robinson on, who proved himself? Craig Robinson would have got through that hole. That play would have been dead in the back.
Well, wait, but Craig, well, what if they give Azzalone a chance, and then all of a sudden they know they're having Craig Robinson, and then when the real deal, when it's the regular season, you know, we're playing Tampa Bay, Cleveland, to start the season, Craig Robinson's the guy. Listen,
Alex Anzalone is virtually a rookie right now. And here's the thing. Craig Robertson's an undersized guy. Yes, I'm a huge Craig Robertson fan, and he does perform when they put him in. But the bottom line is that they're always going to try to replace guys like that. The undersized guys, especially for a draft pick, Anzalone's going to get every opportunity to work out, every opportunity.
The third-round draft pick, without a doubt, but Anzalone got to do more. He has to prove it more to me. He can't just be all-practice player. Because he has been at times outstanding in practice, but when has he been dominant in the game? You might say, well, he's been hurt. How can he be dominant in the game? But he's played a few games. He was hurt at Florida. But, you know, that's what everyone's the scouts and all, they all enamored because of his skill set. You know, he's hell when he's well. But I say, when the hell is he well? Now, Christian, break that down.
No, right. I mean,
he's hell when he's well.
I know what it means. I got you.
You know what I mean?
I smell what you're stepping in, man, for sure.
So I'm like, hey, if you're not available, you're not. How can you be held accountable?
Well, so, look, one NFL season, four NFL games for Alex Anzalone. That's why I said he's virtually a rookie. Let's see if this injury bug follows him into the NFL. And look, the bottom line, it won't at all be about, hey, we're giving him a chance. It'll be, we can't count on you, so you're not going to play.
Well, the thing is, Craig, I think it is linebacker by committee.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get your chance in the rotation, you don't get it done, I think you're going back in the line. The one like DeMario Davis, because they brought him on board, and I think he has potential to be the next Jonathan Vilma. I think he has that kind of ability, both as a tackler and in pass coverage. They brought in A.J. Klein and the different packages. You might have a situation that, instead of a three linebacker, 4-3 set, you're in a 4-2 and you have an extra nickel, extra corner, you have an extra safety. You know, you're going to be scheming, and it's amazing, depending on who you play and what lineups you're going to throw out there. So you have to look at it, hey, if you're a linebacker, whether you're in the top two or the top three and you're in a rotation, you better get it done. Because if you don't, you're going back in the line. Then the next guy up, you know, who's gotten better in pass coverage. Now, we didn't necessarily see that tonight compared
Manti
to
Tail.
Last year, Manti Te'o. I mean, he was definitely a liability. Here's a guy that worked on his craft and got better in pass coverage. So I think he could build upon if ever he was called upon because of injuries. You never know what's going to happen, that he maybe wouldn't be that much of a liability where the quarterback, oh, I'm going to go in his area because I know I'm going to burn him. He has actually gotten better. But to say they're just going to give it to Alex Anzalone, Craig, I don't think that's going to be the case. That right now, that's why you have preseason. He hasn't played. They want to see what he could do. And if he can't get it done, you know, sorry, we want to work. We want you to work out, but you got to make get it done on the field in a real game, not just be an outstanding practice player.
Craig, thanks for the phone call to Biloxi, Mississippi. For Brian, you're on the point after on WWL.
Yes, sir. I was wondering if you could answer. I got three questions. Is that all right?
Sure.
All right.
The Brandon third question is going to cost you $5, though.
Oh, damn the bad luck.
All right. What you got, Brian?
Brandon Tate, man. Is he returner, or what do y'all think?
I would think after right now, since he's been on board, the one thing to going back in the line again as a returner is if you bobble a kickoff, you bobble a punt, which I have not seen. He's caught everything clean. And here's an individual that has excelled at the highest level as a returner. And I know Sean Payton respects that. He's had over 200 punt returns. He's taken three of the house as far as the touchdown. Now, there was really no punts in the game tonight because our defense really couldn't force Jacksonville a punt. But he had that 37-yard kickoff return. He looked pretty nifty. But then Boston Scott, he ran back kickoffs, our draft pick. He ran back kickoffs at Louisiana Tech, but not necessarily punts. So, you know, I think Boston Scott, it'd be interesting to see. I think he's going to end up doing enough to make the team. But as far as the returner, I would say Brandon Tate would be over top. Would be over
60
Tom
yards, 60-plus yards today or tonight?
Yeah, Christian, look that up. What did he have? I know he had that 37-yard return.
Right. Correct.
Looking as a team, let me see the. I have to check the return yardage. We had five returns for 137 yards, and
well, that's a lot better, isn't it?
Yes, I mean, I can recall a game we played the Rams.
Two returns for 59 yards for Brandon Tate. That's 20 yards of return.
Two returns, 59. Yeah. I can remember the Rams last year. We had zero return yards, and they had 172.
Look, ideally, you want to be at around 24 yards per return. He's at 29 per return.
Yeah,
two returns.
And now, if you see enough punt returns, and this is his career average, and he's returned 200 plus punts, ten yard average. Like last year, we averaged 6.5 yards of punt return.
We weren't even in there.
Yeah, so if we can get 10 now, if all of a sudden Brandon Tate's averaging 14, that's a Pro Bowler. So, go ahead.
All right. Second question, I'm going to switch to the defense. Number 70.
Lavin. Mitchell Lavin.
What? From Arkansas, yep.
Man, that dude does not have fear to run across the line, does he?
No, and you know what's attractive about him, Brian, and why the coaches love him? Because he can play on the inside. He can be a D tackle or a DN. And he has a high motor, yes.
Listen, he has a motor. Yeah, I'll give him that.
They were so impressed with him last year, and the reason why you didn't hear about him last year during the regular season because he got hurt. But if you look at this time in training camp and all, he was kicking butt.
I'm sorry. Third question, if you don't mind, man, how strong is Savage's arm, man? Because he didn't look very crisp, and he really didn't look that good. He looked like Houston.
You know what, Brian? You kind of get with Tom Savage what the Houston Texans got. I think he started some NFL games, but to say you're going to win anything, no.
No.
I mean, they decided to go with Deshaun Watson. I think, listen, I said this before, Tom Savage, it just shows you it's not enough NFL quarterbacks around. Here's a five-year veteran out of University of Pittsburgh. I mean, he's a big dude, 6'4", 230, but they just don't have enough quarterbacks. Tom Savage is like, he knows what it takes. Mentally, do you know what you're doing? But is he going to do anything special? No, I don't even think he's as good as what we've had in the past. And but I mean, I'm not even looking at Chase Daniel. I'm looking at the same type of body type. Luke McCown. Luke McCown's way better in as far as trust factor in the quarterback than anybody we got now as far as playing the position, I think.
They haven't had look. They've had much better backup quarterbacks under. This is the worst crop of backup quarterbacks.
Well, you go back to Mark Burnell,
McCown, Chase Daniel twice.
Yeah, you know, Chase Daniel the first one. I really like Chase Daniel how compared, and then now he's with the Bears. But yeah, but you look at Burnell and Luke McCown. No, it'd be interesting to see what's going to happen the rest of the preseason games, Brian, how the quarterbacks are going to work out. Because who it was today, I think the rumor mill, the Jets, weren't they shopping Bridgewater, Teddy Bridgewater? That's a rumor, so to speak.
Yeah, they're trying to trade him because they know they can't keep him because they're going to have
– Right.
They're going to have Josh – I mean
– Luke's brother, Josh McCown.
Josh McCown and Sam Darnold.
And Sam Darnold.
I wanted to say Dan Arnold.
No, Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold.
Yeah. So when you look at that, that another quarterback, we played them next week, the Cardinals. They got Sam Bradford, and they got Josh Rosen. You know who's the third guy? The Saints were interested in when he came out of North
Mike
Carolina
Glennon.
State. Mike Glennon, who went to Tampa Bay, got big bucks with the Bears. Then the Bears let him go because they got from Penn State.
Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky. So all of a sudden, you know, he had to move. But
Trubisky was from North Carolina.
Yeah, what I said?
Penn State.
Penn State, yeah. I meant North Carolina. And it goes to Chicago. So when you look at Glennon, I mean, I would think right now that if you tell Sean Payton, I don't know what you got to give up to get him, that he would take Glennon over Tom Savage or Taysom Hill to back up Drew.
He might be available.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's entirely possible the primary backup to Drew Brees might not be on this roster right now. Saints head coach Sean Payton after the game here, after the black and gold won 24-20. Not too happy.
Just did a good job of kind of switching the momentum. Obviously, we'll look at the tape when we get back, and there'll be a lot of things that we have to clean up. Too many to go through one by one, but... So we kind of go from there. Any questions?
What were your first impressions of Tom and Taysom?
Oh, we'll see the tape. Both of them, you know, were competing. I'm sure, you know, there were some good things. Taysom did some things running the ball. And Tom made a few nice throws.
Defenses looked really good in practice. Just what do you think when they get up there?
I thought, listen, early in the game, offensively and defensively, we struggled. I mean, honestly, I don't know when we forced the first punt. And then offensively, you know, we didn't generate much of anything. You know, we had one score, but, look, there'll be a lot we have to get cleaned up.
So do you guys see Anzalone at that middle linebacker spot, or is he trying
out
a couple of
games? He can play both. You know, he's competing right now. It was easy with Manti down. We'll try to get our best players on the field.
Was he wearing that communication device?
Yeah.
How do you think he did?
Well, he handles it real well. One of his strengths is, you know, he's a smart player. And so middle of the week when Manti went down, we started working him in the mic. We'll continue to look at those packages. And then also in nickel. AJ is the first guy to carry, you know, the headset. Well, those were design runs, a couple of them, and then he made a couple good plays with his feet. But he's a good football player. He had a good play later in the game. Thought he got his hands on some balls. We struggled getting a line at receiver. I mean, the whole night, fundamental basic stuff. You know, we had trouble with who's on the ball, where our split is. You know, we've got to go back to square one with some of that because that didn't look good. It wasn't a smooth operation. We'll see.
Sean, what were your takeaways from your first sampling of this new kickoff situation
tonight? I thought overall both teams operated. Both teams got a number of reps returning it. And I think it'll be good film for us to go back and look at, especially with the spacing, because it's the first time you're really going live. It's the first time we're tackling in this camp live. Defensively, offensively the same way. First time, you know, that we're going to the ground. So I thought it was rough in a lot of areas, though, honestly. I'm talking about the overall performance early on with both groups. But we'll get back to work tomorrow.
What's it like to see a guy like Devereaux Lawrence, who had to sit out all last year, and then, you know, his first action with you guys, he gets a couple sacks tonight?
Well, look, he's worked hard. He's one of those guys you see in the training room that whole off season, you know, getting healthy. And he's an explosive guy. So it's great to see someone that really has put in the time and effort with the rehab and then get out and be able to play some. So keep working with him and getting him reps and getting him better. Yeah, we'll look at the tape and grade it. You know, it's hard just coming off the field, but we'll have a chance to grade all those guys. All right, thank you.
Saints head coach Sean Payton after the 24-20 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. You'd have thought they lost by 24 in that ball game.
He definitely sounded perturbed. When
you say rough in a lot of areas, look, that's just Sean Payton being honest with you, because it was rough in a lot of areas.
No,
he talks about how receivers had a hard time lining up. These are things that the coaching staff are not going to be patient with. If you don't know where to line up at this point, the expectation, 12 practices in training camp, you should know, especially with the OTAs, et cetera, and minicamp, you have to know where you line up. That's day one install stuff.
Well, if you want to have success and you're trying to outflank your opponent and you're trying to get any kind of edge you can, you have to, you know, to even have a chance over the long haul, mentally you got to always know what you're doing. And then hopefully physically you can win a few battles and win more than you lose, and then you can have success. But, you know, Sean Payton, one thing I can tell you right now, pretty much, you know, a lot of coaches could be as the public and the media. But Sean, a lot of times, if you truly listen, he'll tell you like it is. You know why, too? He's one of the longest tenured coaches. I think I saw something maybe on the broadcast that Bill Belichick and the Bengals coach.
Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis, the only two ahead of him, he's right there with them in Green Bay.
Mike McCarthy
in the top four. So, you know, when you got skins in the wall like that.
You can be a little more honest. You can say that stuff.
And not sugarcoat anything. What did he say? I don't know, at the beginning of the game, I wasn't too happy what we're doing offensively or defensively. When did we make him punt? Didn't he kind of say that? Not that emotional.
Yeah.
But he said, I don't know. I have to look at the film. I don't even know when they even punted, you know, type thing. So that's why you could say, well, you know, we bounced back and we were behind and we came back. Listen, I would rather, truly, because I know who you're counting on, if you can look at Jaguars, Cardinals, Chargers, whoever you're playing in the preseason, I'd much be rather leading at halftime or then in the first quarter, then all of a sudden, God, we kind of really struggled in that first half of the first quarter. Oh, well, we came back in the second half. Because look who's playing.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't matter if you win or lose and all that. You might say, yeah, if you win, it helps out in the locker room and the confidence and all the whole team. But you got to look at kind of starters versus starters. That's what you get at the beginning of a game in a preseason.
It's the point after here. The Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrett coming back for Jason in New Orleans, and you two at 504-260-1870. Text 870-870. The Carolina Panthers top the Buffalo Bills 28-3. Chicago falls to the Cincinnati Bengals on the road 30-27. Tampa Bay in the NFC South 26-24 over the Miami Dolphins. And how about Ryan Griffin's day down there for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? 20 of 26, 179, one touchdown, a quarterback rating of 107.7. Cleveland on top of the New York Giants 20-10. And in that ballgame, Baker Mayfield, 3 attempts, 13 yards rushing. He goes 11-20 through the air, 212 yards and 2 touchdowns in his Browns debut.
Now, Christian, that's one quarterback Sean Payton helped develop. Ryan Griffin from
mm-hmm.
Tulane.
Mm-hmm.
In hindsight now, is he still with the Falcons?
Gary Grayson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is he like the practice squad, Gary Grayson?
Yeah.
In hindsight, no. Ryan Griffin's on a different level than Gary Grayson. I mean, I don't know if it's going to happen. I was just kind of joking with you because I think they would go with the experience of Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I think Ryan Griffin's going to give Ryan Fitzpatrick a run for his money to play for Tampa Bay before Jameis Winston comes back. I mean, I just think that whether you want to say journeyman or however you want to describe him, that I think Ryan Griffin can end up having a double-digit NFL career. And eventually he probably will have some opportunity to start like a Ryan Fitzpatrick. Or you know what I view Ryan Griffin like? Like a Ryan Fitzpatrick or even like a Josh McCown.
Mm-hmm.
That sometime he's got enough skins in the wall, have enough experience. California kid that played at Tulane, a great kid, great man now. He's not a kid anymore. But look how he's taking advantage of his situation in Tampa Bay. So I can tell you right now, I'd much rather have Ryan Griffin than Taysom Hill or Tom Savage.
You'd be more confident in them.
Yes, I'd be more confident considering how well he ran the Sean Payton's offense. And it was just a numbers game when all of a sudden he wasn't part of the Saints anymore. And Tampa Bay realized
this. Well, they were forcing that because they had Garrett Grayson on the roster.
Yes.
He was a draft pick.
Yes, and Tampa Bay realized his skill set, and they snatched him up.
Baltimore, a big win over the Los Angeles Rams, 33-7. The Washington Redskins fall to the New England Patriots in Foxborough, 26-17. Green Bay all over the Tennessee Titans, and Mike Vrabel's coaching debut, beaten by 2 touchdowns in Lambeau Field, 31-17, and the Houston Texans top Kansas City, 17-10. Games already in action right now. Fourth quarter, Indianapolis on top of the Seattle Seahawks, 19-10. Dallas on top of San Francisco in the fourth quarter out there at Levi's Stadium, 21-10. The New York Jets take on the Atlanta Falcons tomorrow, so a good chance to see another divisional opponent.
So Christian, off the top of your head, when we go out to the West Coast, we're going to practice against the Chargers. And I think that's a CBS and national telecast, right?
Yeah.
Is that like an afternoon or is that late night? Or because you know when you play, look, it's almost midnight Central time, and so when are we playing that game? I have to look.
I want to say that's a 6 p.m. kickoff here, and it's actually.
So it'd be like 4 o'clock.
It'd be 4 o'clock.
Oh, okay. So it's not like a night game. So, yeah, we have to look that up because
it's 6 p.m.
Yeah. So it's not one of these.
My mistake, it is 7 p.m., so it'll be 5 o'clock back in Los Angeles.
So 5. So, yeah, that's going to be normal hours for us. You know, we do the point after till midnight, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but when all of a sudden you have a late West Coast game, which
– And I'm excited about that one just because that's the most you're going to see in the preseason from the starters right there. Those practices last year against the Rams – I mean, against the Chargers were very productive, I think, for the Saints. You started to see Alvin Kamara, that long run. You said, all right, you know you got something with Alvin Kamara.
Mark,
and also you're going, you're going up against Melvin Ingram and Joey Bosa. Your offensive line is going to be tested.
Well, and you know, got tested last year, and we didn't know how he was going to work out. If you look back at that game against the Chargers, Ryan Ramczyk got humbled a couple of times on Melvin Ingram, right?
Yep.
I want to say at least 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
No, I think that's a good team when you're trying to protect the passer to practice again against a team like the Chargers. And plus to also, because there's limited snaps in an actual game, to have practice against a guy like Phillip Rivers. You know, you're trying to make your defense better and the secondary and everything to see where you're at. Go 7-on-7 or all the different drills you do. Like the Chargers, same thing. They want to go against Drew Brees to make them better, but we should want to go against Phillip Rivers to make our defense better. Because when you're going against Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees, you're truly going against the best of the best.
Looking ahead to games tomorrow, the Atlanta Falcons are up there in New York taking on the Jets. That's a 7:30 kickoff. Also, it's the return of Chucky with the Oakland Raiders. John Gruden back with the Raiders. They're hosting the Detroit Lions tomorrow at 10:30 local. Minnesota and Denver kicking off at 9 p.m. along with the L.A. Chargers and the Arizona Cardinals.
So Christian, when
tomorrow
you say
well.
The Raiders, 10:30 Central, so is that?
That'll be 9:30 Central.
So 9:30
10:30 Eastern.
Okay, 10:30. So is that on NFL Network? Because if that game – see, I would be interested to see just the Raiders and where they're at because I don't necessarily think that from the get-go that Gruden is going to be a miracle worker with the Raiders.
You think he has to work miracles, though?
I don't think they're as good as the Chargers or the Chiefs.
That's fair.
I'm just looking, okay, and what I mean, look, Derek Carr, I think, where do you put him? Right now, the NFL quarterbacks, I put him middle of the pack. Because what occurred last year, I think he's a legit starter, and you could build a franchise around him. But if you look how the Raiders beat the Saints 2 years ago, that was kind of lucky. Remember my old room dog, Jack Del Rio?
Yeah.
The Raiders had about four games that year that definitely that lady luck on their side.
Well,
the ball bounced their
sometimes?
Way. Huh? Yes.
Don't you take that? I mean, that's what happens.
But
was the play Ken Crawley just didn't get his head around over Michael Crabtree.
But that's when you want to have those kind of plays work your way, Christian, so you can win 13, 14 games instead of 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. See, but I think that scenario, when they had those plays bounce their way, that made them a double-digit winning team where they could have basically been a 500 team, 7-9 or 8-8. So the ball's not going to always bounce your way. So I'm just intrigued that I think Gruden, come on, look at that. He has that lifer-type contract that it will eventually work out. I don't know if it's going to be maybe when it gets to Las Vegas, but I don't necessarily think it's going to be, from the get-go, that he's going to turn the Raiders around overnight and be dominant in the AFC West.
You go back and look at that game a couple years ago in the opener. That was the Brandon Cooks 98-yard touchdown pass. The longest play of his career.
Right.
I think the longest passing touchdown of Drew Brees' career. Beat Sean Smith badly. I mean, Sean Smith was a highly thought of quarterback out of Utah. He came out in the same draft class, remember this now, as Stanley Jean Baptiste. A lot of people thought the Saints were going to end up drafting Sean Smith. The Raiders ended up drafting him, I want to say, in late second round or early third round after Stanley Jean Baptiste. But my goodness, what a bad rookie class that was in general for corners. All right, we'll step away and wrap this thing up here on The Point After. Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick on Saints Radio, WWL. Winding down here on The Point After, the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. The Saints win 24-20. Over the Jacksonville Jaguars in the preseason opener. Sean and Hammond, what's going on, Sean? You're on WWL.
Yeah, Bobby.
Hey, Sean.
Talking about, watching the game, I didn't see the whole thing, but I saw parts, bits and pieces. The one pass I seen Savage go downfield, that thing was a duck.
Yeah, he's not he's going to – listen. I'm not going to sugarcoat it, Sean. Tom Savage is one, even in a Houston uniform and his 5 years, going in his fifth year NFL experience, he's going to dump it off. So that does not surprise me when I look at his numbers. 14 attempts, 10 completions, 70 yards. His longest gain was 14 yards. That does not surprise me. I mean, even in practice, I don't really see him pushing the ball down the field.
Nothing over a 10-yard completion, I mean, that one 14-yard completion that,
Yeah.
It was a duck. There's no spin to the ball. I mean, how's a guy make it that far to the NFL and he's not throwing spirals?
Well, I've seen him throw spirals further than that. Maybe he just had a bad grip on the ball, Sean. I don't know how to explain it, but I don't think the Houdan Nation would be too confident if Tom Savage all of a sudden – had to play a month for Drew Brees or even a couple of games. I don't know right now if they'd even be comfortable at the highest level when the games count if Taysom Hill was the guy. So, to me, that'll be interesting to see.
The guy that's going to be the primary backup, Bobby and Sean, to Drew Brees this year is not on this roster.
See, that's what I'm saying. It might not even be even on the roster right now. We brought Taysom Hill on board last year from Green Bay. Now we brought the receiver Austin Carr from the Patriots. Now that's a little difficult for a quarterback that you bring on board, Christian, to learn the offense where it's second nature, whether it be Glennon from the Cardinals, depending on what happens there, or now Teddy Bridgewater, coming back from his significant knee injury with the Vikings. Now it looks like the Jets are shopping him around. So, Sean, I don't know. We just got to say a rosary and pray right now that Drew Brees just plays the whole season like he did last year, and we have a great team, and it's not all on Drew's shoulders. And if we can mix up the run and the pass, we'll be fine. And Drew Brees will stay upright and healthy.
You don't have Luke McCown to rely on. Remember how Luke came in for one game against the Carolina Panthers?
And gave us a chance to win.
Almost got it done against the Carolina Panthers, if not for that really good interception from Josh Norman in the back of the end zone. Before we push out of here, I want to thank Mark Menard at Master Control, helping us out, as well as Tim Zimmer. Couldn't have done it without those two guys. Also, before we push out of here, I want to thank Diane Newman, our executive producer and also program director here at WWL. Bobby, in about 30 seconds, just tell me what you're looking for as the Saints get back on the practice field Saturday and Sunday.
Well, I just want, listen, you could be all rah-rah and excited as the defense, but you know what? When all of a sudden you're under the lights and the game counts, well, just transfer what you do in practice to a game. I think we got humbled a little bit in that first quarter. So just, you know, be more disciplined in your angles as far as your tackling. I'm not really worried about the offense long term, but defensively, I want us to take that next step and be a top 10 defense. So it'll be interesting to see Saturday or Sunday at practice.
They're practicing tomorrow, but it's going to be a walkthrough. Yeah, it's like an hour and a half.
Okay, but on Sunday, we maybe could see some live tackling or goal line, because I think that did affect some of the players as far as angles and missed tackles. We just thumping instead of getting a player down. So I can see a drill that I always look forward to that because that gets really competitive because who wins between the offense and the defense. But just have a better showing from the get-go against the Arizona Cardinals. And listen, if we got the lead after the first quarter winning at halftime and you don't win, I'd rather take that being outstanding in the first half and not necessarily close out the game, even though it's in the Superdome. But just with the guys you're going to be seeing playing on Sunday in the fall, that they get it done from the get-go against the Cardinals coming up.
The best thing that happened tonight, no serious injuries. Still right. A pretty healthy team for the New Orleans Saints. Back at it tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Sports Talk back on the air as well. Mark, you did a great job. Thanks for your help. Also, Tim Zimmer as well behind the scenes. Semper Fi, I'm out. Bobby, do your thing, man.
Bon nuit. Good night, people.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.